Stage Dramas. The roar of the presses. Every week, these giant presses roll and keep rolling at tremendous speed, 15,000 an hour, until every last one of the 7 million copies of the American Weekly has gone through in full color. Great fiction, interesting features, factual articles, color illustrations. All these are found in every issue of the American Weekly. All these go to make up the nation's reading habit, another name for the American Weekly, which comes to you every week with your Hearst Sunday newspaper. Every lover of good fiction, every theater and moviegoer has at one time or another thrilled to the story of François Villon, the Vagabond King, and how he organized the beggars of Paris into a court of miracles. This highly adventurous and colorful story must have inspired the modern-day beggars of Paris, because once again they have banded themselves into a silent but highly dangerous army to fight the German invaders. Their system of sabotage and counter-espionage is creating havoc with the highly taunted German Gestapo. It is this thrilling story of these companions of François Villon, as they call themselves, that forms the basis for this week's front-page drama, dramatized from the thrilling true-life story entitled France's Ragged Regiment of Beggars by Jacques Lerminat, a famous Paris journalist, featured in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly. Our story opens in a little war-torn village near Paris. A handful of French soldiers are holding off the vicious attack of the oncoming German army. Lieutenant Max Opéqui is talking to his fellow officer, Antoine Saltier.
It is useless to hold out any longer, Antoine.
Wait.
The Boche is far too powerful. There are too many of them.
You are right, Max. We've done all we can. Dismiss your men. Tell them to get out and escape as best they can.
How about you, Antoine? Where will you go?
I do not know, Max. I'm cut off from any chance of getting home now.
Here, good friend, Antoine. Here is my address in Paris. It is not far away. If you escape, meet me there.
Very good, Max. 1,000 thanks. I'll try to find you, but we've got to separate now and make good our escape. There isn't a minute to spare. Au revoir, Max.
Au revoir, Antoine. Remember, I'll see you in Paris. God be with you.
I'll see
you.
Tell me, is this where Max Opéqui lives?
His apartment is here, upstairs. Second door to left. But be careful.
Huh?
Those gentlemen are there.
Ah. Well, what do you want?
I came here to see a friend of mine, Max Opéqui.
Who is it, Herr Lieutenant?
Frenchman, who has come to see his friend, Max Opéqui, Herr Colonel.
Yes, that's it. Good, have him come in.
Call him, Frenchman. Go to the Colonel then.
So, you have come to see your friend, Max Opéqui, the swine of a deserter, eh? Well, he disappeared. We kicked him out. This place was much too good for them anyhow.
And monsieur, my friend was probably killed in the retreat. Or taken prisoner, perhaps. He was a brave man, a good soldier.
Quiet, your insolent swine. Speak when you're spoken to.
Very well. I will.
And with your own revolver. Hands up, all of you. Quick, it will be the death to the first man who moves.
Why, you mad dog. You can't get away with this.
Men, seize him! Arrest him! Go!
Bonsoir, mon ami. Are you all right?
I'm all right.
Here, reach up. Take this bottle of wine and this food.
Merci, but who are you? What do you have now?
Eat, drink, and then wait until you hear four quick knocks.
Eh?
Lift up the stone and come out. Turn to the left. Go up to the head of the stairs where you will meet a blind man. Do as he tells you.
A blind man? How will he know?
Don't worry about that. Do as I say.
Come closer, my dear sir. I will give you your horoscope.
Please. Hey, monsieur.
Here I am. No.
We'll go to the cafe across the street. Tell Justine, the waiter, that you are the friend of Forrest.
Justine, the friend of
Forrest. Aye. He will tell you that. Hurry now.
Where, monsieur?
Are you Justine?
Mary, monsieur.
I am a friend of Forrest.
Oh, Mary. He is on the first floor. Will you come with me?
The
Gestapo has put a price on your head. You killed the German colonel and severely wounded the lieutenant. You will stay here until 8 o'clock. Wait in here. Here's the watch. You must leave at 8 o'clock. Walk out of the cafe as though nothing had happened. Once outside, walk along calmly without showing yourself too much. Here is a map. Keep it. You'll have a good long walk to the room, Mr. Taft. You must be in front of number 17 at 16 minutes before midnight. You understand?
Perfectly, Monsieur. I'll follow instructions carefully.
Hide in the shadows. The midnight patrol of the Germans will turn in front of number 11. We know. Don't worry. At a given hour, the companions will pick you up and take you to a safe place.
Merci. Monsieur, you are indeed most kind.
Remember, above all, while you are waiting, not a move, not a sound. Hold your breath.
It's belaufenes.
Who sends you?
A man by the name of Justin.
All right, give me your hand. Come with me. It's dark, but I know the way. We must watch for German patrols. Remember, it is best if we are caught out at the curfew.
Oui?
We must hurry.
As chief of the Compagnons of François Villon, I bid you welcome. With an invitation to join our secret organization.
My name is Antoine Saltier, former lieutenant of the 71st Regiment Infantry. I fought side by side with Max Opetit, a gallant soldier and a true friend. I was glad to avenge his honor. As for your invitation, I shall be honored to join the Compagnons of François Villon.
Eh bien. Immediately after court, we adjourn tonight. He shall be duly initiated into our order.
Hello, mon ami. Disguise is perfect.
No one, not even the Gestapo agents, will recognize you now. To their eyes, you will be a helpless, ragged cripple, a beggar like the rest.
You are very clever in this art, monsieur. I hope I can play the part equally well. But now, you have an assignment for me?
Oui, mon ami. His name is Oberleutnant Hans Heydrich, a big Prussian bully who has been making himself obnoxious to one of our number, Jean Ferrier.
She is a very good girl and a valuable member of our order. Her father was a Czech who died in a Nazi concentration camp.
Her mother was killed by a bomb. We found Jeanne on the street. She was half starved and very ill. We took her in and nursed her back to health.
She forsook her home and safety to join us to avenge her parents' death. Now she is threatened by this Hans Heydrich.
Jeanne will go to his house by the river to meet him.
You will follow her. Then...
So you have come to your senses and decided to do as I suggest today, Mademoiselle Ferret. That is good.
I have not come to comply with your wishes, Lieutenant. I have come to tell you I refuse to accede to your threat.
Yes, come now, Mademoiselle. You are trying my patience with your stupidity. I will give you just one more chance. If you will be, shall we say, nice to me, you shall have additional food ration cards. Yes, even the cards to get yourself some warm clothes. If, on the other hand, you persist in being stubborn and refuse me, I shall order your arrest as a pro-British agent. That means concentration camp and, well, death.
I am not in the least moved by your threats or promises. My answer is no.
We shall see about that, you stupid little fool.
That is good work, my friend. Get down and out.
Oui. This bed has enough chloroform to put a horse to sleep. And he's big and very powerful, this bully. But there now. Number 30. You lead the way. Be sure there is no one in sight. I'll pick up the body and carry it over to the river.
I am ready, mon ami. I see that the coast is clear.
As Prefect of Police of the city of Paris, I tell you there is no truth to this story. They are all old yarns about what used to happen, perhaps, in the Paris of long ago. Very romantic stories, no doubt, for plays, the cinema, and so forth. But there is nothing like that going on today. I can assure you, Colonel von Stendhal.
Sir, I don't care whether it's the work of the beggars of Paris or the devil himself. It's got to stop. Not one single day goes by without something going wrong.
Sir.
And now, our officers are being assassinated with great regularity. I tell you, this can go on. Either we get hold of these bandits, or the city of Paris will be severely punished.
But we are doing everything humanly possible.
Yeah,
did not hurt him like himself send down his best policeman from Berlin. Didn't Herr Hamler come here in person to direct the investigation, and what did he find?
But after all, if these
now,
men
if
really
you actually believe these poor devils are responsible, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll strictly forbid all begging. We'll arrest every single tramp and homeless individual in Paris. We'll fill the jails with them.
Yeah, that is good.
Then if you are wrong, and this black terror, as you call it, continues, what do we do then? We'll be simply ridiculous in the eyes of the public. We shall have done a thoroughly hateful thing by locking up all those harmless and helpless wounded war veterans and those other miserably poor ones.
Yeah, but then they can't...
What do you think your governor, Herr Otto Abbott, will face with such a move, eh? Isn't he doing all he can to create the impression that we are collaborating more successfully, you Germans and we Parisians? What will the foreign correspondents, particularly the Americans, say?
If we could only have some proof. Just a little bit of evidence.
I tell you... please excuse me, sir. Yeah. Monsieur le Grand Office, protect your team. I... Oui. Oui. Bien.
Well, what now?
I regretfully inform you that the body of Oberlieutenant Hans Hendrich has just been found floating in the river Seine. Since the body shows no marks of violence, we must assume that this is a case of suicide.
This is one of the many unsolved mysteries facing the dreaded German Gestapo in Paris. Acts of sabotage have greatly increased. English secret agents are smuggled in and are given guides. Railroads, factories, munition dumps, and power plants are disabled. French prisoners of war who manage to escape find discreet shelter. All this and much more is carried out in this heroic campaign by the companions of François Villon, whose heroic exploits are told by Jacques Lemina, the famous Paris journalist, in the thrilling feature article, France's Ragged Regiment of Beggars, to be found in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world that comes to you each week with your Hearst Sunday newspaper. The roar of the presses. Every week, these giant presses roll and keep rolling at tremendous speed, 15,000 an hour, until every last one of the 7 million copies of the American Weekly has gone through in full color.
Great fiction.
Interesting features.
Factual articles. Color illustrations.
All these are found in every issue of the American Weekly. All these go to make up the nation's reading habit, another name for the American Weekly, which comes to you every week with your Hearst Sunday newspaper. It has become increasingly clear that World War No. 2 has completely changed the strategy of both offensive and defensive warfare. And when the British recently caught a homely housewife helping the enemy, they realized that even the strategy of espionage had undergone a radical change. No longer do the secret agents employ women of irresistible beauty and charm of the famous Mata Hari type. Female spies are no longer the gorgeous vamp type displayed on stage and screen. They are old-fashioned. Germany's intelligence department wants fat, homely, middle-aged women with wrinkled faces and dishpan hands, together with an air of respectability. This week's front-page drama, The Ugly Duckling Spy, proves...